And get back into our preparation time. And I'm going to do that portion tonight. Skip's been doing it. But tonight I want to cover a little bit about emergency contact information. We've covered water and water purification, food and energy. And this is a little bit different focus, but it's a very necessary and needed aspect. So what we're going to start with, find the set of notes. There's three different sets. And y'all can move around if you want to go to the back or whatever. Feel free to get where you feel comfortable or play on the floor, whatever you want to do. But the one that says emergency contact numbers at the top, remember local and national assistance codes. We're just going to go through this. A lot of it's just very common information that we all know, but it's good to have this. And if you haven't already gotten a notebook for yourself to begin to put some of this information in, it's probably a good idea. That way it doesn't get scattered and lost and 6 months from now when you're trying to figure out where that was, you'll maybe know where it is. Like all day today I've been looking for one page of a handout that's just a spectacular handout on some information that I've been waiting to give to you, and have I been able to find it? No. So that just makes me so upset. But I will find it, and when I do, I'll pass it out. It has to do with documents that are needed, and definitely in any kind of emergency situation, you would need them. But really, it's just a reminder to all of us of things that we need to know where they are, have all of them updated. And I'm thinking about, particularly about the city of Joplin, although we've had multiple examples, you know, just since January of this year, of massive disasters and people just being displaced, everything they own being blown away, washed away, and still they live on and their families live on. And so having information and secured in ways that you can access it is an important thing, and we just don't think it'll ever happen, but it can happen. It happens all the time to somebody, and so that's where we're going tonight. And I'll just go through it pretty quickly, and then when I find my other A+ piece of paper that I can't find, I'll Xerox that off and pass it out to you as well. But just we'll just zoom through some of this. The emergency contact numbers. You know, I don't know if you know this little system, 211, 411, 511, and 911, but the 211 connects callers to health and human services in local areas. It's a non-emergency number. It's not like you can dial 911, you know, and somebody's going to come out with health and human services to your house for the 211 number, but it will connect you to information, and it's different in different areas according. It's still being worked out, and so in some areas and in some states it's got a lot more information than others, but realize that you can dial that 211 number and it will connect you to some very good information. Of course, the 411 is telephone directory assistance. You know, you think I'll remember that, but when you're in a panic and in an emergency you might not. So good idea to have some, you know, maybe make a little card or something and contact paper and stick it by your phone or put it in your wallet where you can pull it out. 511 is America's Traveler Information. Last year, or a couple of years ago, we were going at Christmas time through 100 feet of snow trying to drive down to the Knoxville Airport to pick Jonathan up at Christmas, and I kept trying to go online and find out the traffic information, and it was like talking to a wall, and really all I had to do was dial 511. But did I think of that? No. Didn't think of it, but it's local traffic and road conditions, and it'll update you there. And you can also go online to www.511.com, and it'll give you that there. And so that's kind of nice. As long as we have electricity and you can access your computer, lines are up, there you go. And, of course, 911. And then National Capital Poison Center is always a good thing, particularly if there's little ones around anywhere. But you never know. Things can happen, accidents can happen, and particularly if you're in a situation where people have been displaced, there's been some kind of challenge, disaster or something, and you just never know what can happen, and you end up having a poison situation. Here's a really weird one. It happened to me. senior prom, what was I, 17? Went with a friend at senior prom, came home, 11:30 at night. No, it was a Christmas because it was hot. Christmas dance. Went to this dance, came home, burning up, hot. I'd worn a velvet dress, hot, burning up. Come in, run upstairs, go into the bathroom, pick up the little porcelain, nice little frilly cup that my mom had sitting on the counter that I never drank out of, pick it up, put it under the water, fill it up, drink it down, and I gulped it down. And what I didn't know was there was about that much Clorox in the bottom of it because she was cleaning the cup. And you think, well, didn't you taste it? Well, it was a little cup. I had it all the way down before I realized, whoo! And she was coming up as I was going down screaming, no! So I landed in Hosta Valley Hospital with a bunch of syrup of Ipecac and throwing up and trying to get, you know, all that done. So there you go, Poison Control Center. It can happen to the best of us that wasn't even a disaster. That was just a Christmas dance. Yeah, it was crazy. And then National Battery Ingestion Hotline, and you think, oh, I'm not going to eat a battery. But I'm telling you, these little button batteries that are in everything, so easy for children to get those and swallow them. It's a big deal. They're a major hazard. And if that happens, there's a specific number that you need to call, and I've got it there for you. So there. And then the next page, I just try to make some helpful handouts that you can utilize. You can print them again. You can whatever you want to do with them. But the emergency contact list, just things that we need to, numbers that we need to have, trying to find them in the dark with no electricity, with a flashlight. You know, you're trying to find all these numbers. And if you're being displaced in some kind of disaster, that would be an issue. So that's that list. And then the next page should be family health information. Is that the next one at the top? Quick reference?
Yeah.
And some of these things are going to be duplicated. You know, like in all these handouts, it's just impossible not to do that. But you can sort through and use what you want or what's good for you. But I'm just saying that it's recommended that some health information for each family member be listed, you know, in an emergency contact section. And really the ideal thing is to have a page for each person. And so because when the pressure's on and you're trying to think, particularly if you have someone who's medically compromised or has a lot of medications or has issues with other things, and trying to sort that out, it's just easier to have it written down ahead of time when everybody's got a cool head and there's no deal going on, and you can put it down there. But just simple things like name, age, height, weight, any kind of allergies, medicine allergies, as well as, you know, food allergies, any kind of thing, allergies that would play into a person's health.
Maybe add immunization record on there?
Yeah. Immunization record needs to be, yeah. And I've got that actually in a different place. But so that's what I'm saying. I'm giving you things, and you're going to, when you get them home, you can consolidate them however it works best for you. Medications and the dosage of medications is a very important thing. And having been able to have doctor's offices, pharmacies, any kind of emergency personnel, they're going to ask for that information. Of course, your health insurance company, the name, the number, phone number, the group number, the ID number, and even the address of the home office of the insurance policies is a good thing to have in a consolidated way. And then early emergency warning systems where you live. The EAS is a national public warning system that requires TV and radio broadcasters, cable television, wireless cable, everybody to yield to the president of the nation, I should have called that, the capability to address the American public during a national emergency. And the system can also be used by state and local authorities to deliver important information. Now, we all understand that there's all kinds of things that are going on. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things going on. So during the tornado that came to Colonial Heights when we were down in our basement texting Matthew and Julie and half of y'all and Kelsey and Randy in Kansas City, Lou was saying, what's happening in Tennessee? like, there's a tornado at my house. Because they were all at a wedding. But anyway, we were getting these text messages just like boom, 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 boom on my phone. And it was an emergency alert system coming from the Sullivan County something. And they were texting our cell phone. They were also sending messages on our home phone. Now, in Washington County, I don't think y'all had that happen. But Sullivan County, we did. And they were sending out all the emergency, you know, alerts on the cell phone. So that's what this is. You can take systems that can take any cell phones is a new deal, but they can any kind of broadcasting system, they have the ability to take that over and use it. And I've given you what the systems are and the websites. You could go on the websites and sometimes it's fun just to go on there and peruse through there when you have time and sort of get familiar with them. So if you had to get information quickly, you could. NOAA Weather Radio, we all know that's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. It's part of the Department of Commerce. And as long as the government hangs together and the Department of Commerce operates as it's supposed to, it doesn't get out of control or weird, we'll have the NOAA going. And there's also a website for that. And you can go on there and look at right online for anything, and they give a lot of information, not just about storms, but about earthquakes and all kinds of things. And this coming soon commercial mobile alert system is what I was talking about with the cell phones, where they can take your cell phone numbers and reverse the emergency through the cell phones, which actually, you know, if they had that system available in Japan and could have gotten that off quickly, probably would have been very helpful. I don't know if that wave was so close to the, you know, they were so close. It wasn't so far out in the ocean and it happened very quickly, but it might have been able to save some lives. And just going down through there, just let you read some of that. But one of the things I wanted to point out, just in case you might not think about it, the NOAA Weather Radio. Somebody said, oh, I can just turn on my radio and get that. And I said, no, you have to actually purchase the receiver. And you can get those at most major retail stores. I think we got ours at Radio Shack. You can get them online, NOAA Weather Radio. They're not all that expensive. I mean, you can get them really elaborate, but you can just get a very functional one for very inexpensive. And you can also get, they also have them now that are mobile. You know, that you can take with you, kind of like a little walkie-talkie, but it's a NOAA Weather Radio. And I just put our logo information that for the Tri-Cities. The site name is Bristol. The transmitter hump name is Holston Mountain. The call sign, WXK47. And the frequency, the power. And it's coming to us out of Morristown, Tennessee. So when you go on the NOAA Weather Radio site online, weather.gov, NWR, all of that information is there for you. And so a NOAA Weather Radio is a must, you know, really. And so if you don't have one, purpose to get one and just kind of make that a priority and just sort of turn some little money into it. It's, like I said there, it's not massively expensive. You can get one that functions well. And we've had ours for years and it still works fine. And ours works, we keep it plugged in. And but you can unplug it and it'll go on battery. And then the next one is just emergency contact list, given just some basic things. It's not, none of this is comprehensive. It's just things to begin. It's beginning. So we have, and the key is to get stuff consolidated and in a place that you can quickly access all of it pretty quick. Contact card on the next page. Giving a contact name, and really they recommend that you have this for each person. You know, each person would have this, particularly if they're children and you like kids are at school, or that they would have something so that if something did happen, they could look at that little card and they would know, because it's hard to memorize all that information if they're scared or whatever. But just a telephone, a home and a cell number, an email address, and then we all should have an out-of-state contact name. Extended family or friend, a trusted friend, or at least somebody pretty far removed from the site. I mean, you think about Joplin, Missouri, and I mean, the contacts were dead. They operated through ham radio operators for 3 days. They had no communications. Verizon carried in three mobile phone towers. This thing hit on, what was it, a Sunday night? And they were they couldn't even get the cell towers in because everything was so destroyed and the roads were, I mean, it was terrible. I think they had them up and operating late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning, and then they could begin to use cell phones. We're so dependent on cell phones, we don't think about that. One thing I will say, landlines often are more dependable in a real emergency than cell phones. And so that might not be a bad idea either. If you still have the ability to have a landline, you know, you have, anyway, those, I have an old Mickey Mouse phone that one of our kids had. And it's a landline. It's the only old phone we have. And so it's, I had to pull him out. And I was talking to you that night, Julie, on the Mickey Mouse phone. I'm thinking, this is crazy. We had no power. And my cell phone had no battery, and Skip's had none. And so I was kind of talking to Julie to get information about what was going on in Missouri on the Mickey Mouse phone. Yeah, the portable phone. Right, the portable phones don't work. So, and I didn't have any of that. We didn't have electricity. So, you know, and also we need to make it. Just think about being displaced. Think about Mike's at work, you're at home, and something happened, you know, and you can't communicate. So you have to have a prearranged meeting place. Kind of, are you going to stay put? And is he going to try to get to you, or are you going to designate some, you know? And you just have to talk about it together and try to figure that out. You know, what would be the best thing? And then a secondary meeting place, of course. And that's just pretty self-explanatory. Then I put in there a form for neighbors' contact numbers, landline, cell phone, and email address. And that's always good. I mean, if you're, you know, the more we know about the people living around us, the better off we are, to the good and to the bad. I mean, if there's challenges there, people that are having real problems, we want to know that as well. And, you know, it's helpful. And then the next one is it's another form for contact information. It comes out there in a little bit different way, but look at number three where it says family information, the call sign. That's if you're a ham radio operator. And of course, then the date of birth, social security number, and this one includes blood type. That can be very, very important. It's something that not a lot of people know, but it's a very important piece of information, driver's license, you know, pretty self-explanatory, and it gives you several of there where you can just fill in for different family members. These are all just things that we need to have, whether there's a disaster or not. We need to have these in place. And then the next page, this is in lieu of that one that I said I misplaced, and I just quickly put this together, some from memory and some from another source. But the one I had was way more comprehensive than this. Emergency documents. And you're thinking about, when you're thinking about any kind of challenge, you want to think about what you're going to need. And it's not always easy, especially if it's beginning to happen and you're trying to pull it together. But the proof of ownership or lease of your residence. When you think about what's happened in these disasters in Alabama and Joplin and even here in Camp Creek and up in Glade Spring, you know, if your stuff's blown away, there's no way to go back to your things and find your documents. You know, I just go to the filing cabinet and pull it out. Well, if the filing cabinet's in Timbuktu, you know, you're not going to know where to go. But we don't think about it. So that's something, just social security numbers of family members. And then you think about vehicle, boats, the make, the identification, the license numbers, any kind of vehicle, you know, transportation or something that you would need or that you own. Of course, charge and bank account numbers, insurance policy numbers, any kind of securities or deeds or loan numbers, including the company name, the address, the telephone numbers, how to contact. Because we're so, you know, everything's orderly in our lives, or maybe not so orderly, but at least it's kind of orderly. We know it's in our house somewhere. But if either we're separated from that or our stuff is blown somewhere, it, you know, trying to get to that is hard, and it's important. We're talking about natural disasters now, mostly floods or whatever. Will and living trust and letter of instruction. I did not put on there a medical directive, but that would be another important thing. If you haven't done it, it's probably a very important thing to do. Photos, or another thing is getting photos or a video, being able to document, you know, what you own, just the goods in your home or what God's entrusted to you, to be able to have that covered by your insurance. It's just easier to have, you know, that. And sometimes if you have it, it'll remind you of even things, you know, that you didn't remember that was even in your home. And that's so easy to put on files and float in the cloud.
Cyberspace.
You can float all that, and you don't have to drag it around with you. Important business documents, of course, family records, birth, marriage, death certificates, any kind of change in like that. Military records, you would list style and serial numbers of any kind of medical devices, even such as pacemakers. You don't think about that. And immunization records. And so I starred all of these ones that you would know that you wouldn't hand to somebody else to secure, you know, I mean, just those have to be under your charge. They would go in your emergency kit and be, because we have to be careful. Identity theft is rampant, and we want to be wise in how we use it, but these kinds of documents will be needed in any kind of disaster, displacement, or if you're just on the move for whatever reason, identity is going to be very important. Passport's another one you would want to secure. I didn't think of that. I am going to find that other page, and then we'll have a more comprehensive list. And then we'll move real quick to take important action. This is another list here. It's not the one that I wanted. And I'm not going to read it all to you. You can just read that. But these are this is a little bit more comprehensive list of things that we just need to think about having together. And the way I look at it is, I look down the list and I go, you know, I can do two or three of those this week or whatever. We don't have to do it all at one time. We can do it slowly, but consistently. Remember, the race is won by the tortoise. As he just consistently goes day by day, week by week, you know, doing the things a little bit at a time. And these are very important things. Of course, you have to think about insurance, and we want to think about immunizations as well. Talked to some of you already about that. Current immunizations and any kind of stress it's a very, very important thing. And I'll just throw this out there. I'm going to cover immunizations a little bit more in depth at a later time and hand you out some information from the Center for Disease Control, all the things that the parameters for that. But one thing that you can do like right away, and I recommend you do it, you could go to any health department in the county where you live, and you can get a tetanus booster. If you have not had a tetanus booster in 10 years, you need to get one. You need to get one. And tetanus shots here about 5 years ago, you couldn't get one unless you were in a very serious shape. The supply was depleted. It was just depleted. And so it was like a premium to get a tetanus shot. And they just didn't give boosters. And like right now, if you just go and you're not cut or anything like that, they just wouldn't give it to you. But they've caught back up on those immunizations. So you can go to get a tetanus booster. And you do not have to have a doctor's order for that. So you can go They're not real expensive. If you have medical insurance, a lot of medical insurance will pay for it. I think I got mine at Sullivan County, and they wouldn't even let me pay. They just offered to pay, so let me just pay you. And she's like, no, we filed insurance. So they filed my insurance. I think they ended up charging me $10, and the insurance company paid for it. So it's not an exorbitant fee, and it's a very important thing, particularly in any kind of real disaster. You think about particularly what happened in Joplin, and you think about flying stuff everywhere, people being cut, people being hit, and it's just a wise thing. Having prevention ahead of time in a situation like this is really important. And so there's other immunizations, but those would require a doctor's order. You would get them at the health department, and we'll talk more about those later. But it just is on this list, so that made me think about it. And it's something that you can do at your leisure. And right now, it's if you go in the next week or two, you will miss all the rush for the school immunization stuff that's going on. So, and then the other thing is to think about storing your important papers, you know, in a safe or a fireproof place somehow, a safety deposit box. Some people put it in a freezer, but you have to secure it so it doesn't get wet, so, or a hidden safe. Duplicate copies is a good thing. And then a wallet ID, I go through that on the next page, just things that you can tuck away. But again, I mean, I don't like to carry all this identification stuff in my, I don't carry my social security card and all that stuff. I just, I'm afraid, what if I lose my wallet, or what if, you know, so of course we process all that I'm saying through that lens. But if, I guess what we have to do is have stuff ready so that if we needed to grab it and take it with us, we could. Having small amounts of cash is important, and several sources recommended even having calling cards. We don't think about pay phones much anymore. There's hardly any around, but when cell phones don't work and your portable phones don't work, a lot of times that's a landline, and that will work. And having some change to stick in a pay phone could be very helpful.
Yeah. If you give the information on that, that'd be great, because I have a calling card still that I put 1,000 minutes on it or something. Mm-hmm. But when I called to get a new one, I thought it was lost for a while.
They said they didn't handle them anymore because everybody had cell phones.
Right. That's right. You can still get them, and I can find out more information about it, but just having some change. And more than a little bit, if you could, you know. Thinking about not being able to, if you have no electricity, you won't be able to go to the ATM. There's a lot of things you won't be able to do. And having smaller denominations of money is important, because if you have a $100 bill, you can't buy a gallon of gas. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they won't be able to possibly make change. So think about the smaller denominations of money. And then the next page is how to report an emergency and dial 911. We don't think about this. And I've talked about this with many people over time, but I've had to dial 911, I guess, 5 times in the last probably 2 years. And I've dialed them on I-26. On I-26, you know, going back and forth between here and Eastern Star Road. And it's been the craziest stuff going on. And had to dial, you know, and then I'm like, duh, you know, it comes on there, it's like, whoa. But I mean, these are just things, if you think ahead, you know, keep calm, speak slow, clear, and they're going to want to know what kind of emergency it is. You know, is it a fire, is it a drowning? And if you're on a landline and you dial 911, they know right where you are. If you're on a cell phone, they don't know where you are. And so you have to give them the information. And so when you're driving along on the road, just kind of pay attention to the mile marker you're going and the direction you're going, which, you know, when you just drive along, we're not thinking about it. But you just say, where's the emergency? What happened? How many people are involved? You know, just these kinds of information. And I give you a little bit more there. And it's important to kind of begin to teach children how and why and when to dial 911. And that's a tricky one, because they may decide to try it out. I had one that did try it out.
Dan?
Yes?
A lot of us have cell phones with different area codes. Mm-hmm. And if you dial 911, you're going to get the area, I mean, the 911 at wherever it is, Denver, Houston. Or
you know, I didn't think about that.
Is there some... Will these 911s connect you to your local?
I actually think they do. I really think they do, but I can't say that for sure, and that's something we probably need to call and find out.
They do connect. It takes a long call.
I think they do, and I'm not sure how that all happens, but I think they do. And the other thing that will happen when you dial 911, it'll lock you into emergency mode. It's the weirdest thing. And that allows them to come back to you. So if you dial 911, just be prepared to stay on the line. And even when you hang up the phone and you open it again, it's still going to be on 911. I mean, they're not going to let you off that line because they want to be able to come back to you. And so it'll take a little while, and you may even have to turn your phone off and get it to, you know, to get it to reset. But yeah, we were going home one night, and there was a car that had just right before we got there. Remember that one that had gone off on the right side of the road right before the gray exit, and the lights were blinking, and of course we're going at 70 miles an hour down the road and zipped right by, and I'm like, what was that? And I realized it was somebody over like the bank. I called 911 and they're like, where are you?
In the car.
I'm driving. I mean, I'm going toward Kingsport on the I-26. I'm almost to gray. Well, what my marker? It was dark, it was foggy, it was in the wintertime, and I said, what kind of car was it? I mean, but I didn't have that information, but I could say it was after the Jonesboro exit, but not yet to the gray exit. I could give them that information, so they dispersed, emergency people, and they were able to deal with it. But I wasn't aware. I mean, we just weren't aware. And so these are things, if you think about them, ahead of time, just consider them. It's helpful, you know. So, and in any kind of disaster, it would be helpful. Then the next one, some of these websites are very helpful, and we use what we can. Homeland Security has put out this Family Communications Plan. It's a little more consolidated. It's just a kind of different, it's a repeat of some of what we've already talked about, so I won't go through it. You can read through that. But it just consolidates it. And then behind that, on the back, and I meant to give it to you on one page so you could actually cut that out and use it, but I forgot and I put it on the back page. So what I'll do is I'll run in there and make some more copies and lay them in the back, and just single copies, so you can cut them out if you want to and stick those in your wallet. But it's a good thing. And then the next one I just put there for your benefit is an insurance discussion form. Insurance coverage, for instance, they target it for business, but you can use this for your own personal insurance things. You know, it's just a form that consolidates things, and it's helpful. And then the next one is computer inventory, and that's also for a business, but it gives you a little grid that you can put your stuff down on, like your computers, your key, all that stuff. It's important to have that when you're trying to recoup it, you know. And we're not talking about somebody coming in and taking us over. We're talking about it, water that washed over our head, you know, and everything's gone, and we can't access what we need to. And so the communications is in several. Skip's going to do more on communications next week, the actual, like, how the hard part, I mean the hardware of communications. This is more just consolidating information, and I think the most important thing is just to gear ourselves to think about it and to do it, because most of us, it's piecemeal. I mean, we know where stuff is probably, but we just don't have it consolidated. And so when we're living in the days we're living in, and we know that we could easily be moved or displaced, it's important to have that where we can access it quickly. Hope that's helpful. And does anybody have anything to add? I mean, there's a lot. Like I said, it's not comprehensive. It's just really a thought starter and some hard pages to, you know, to begin to work through. And I know even with children, one of the things that I saw that they suggested, like if kids are in school, that you could make a little card and, you know, even sew it. You contact paper it, I guess, and leave edges around it, and then you can just sew that little piece of contact paper into their little backpack somewhere. And they even forget it's there, but if they needed it in an emergency, they remember it. You know, like, and it just put a picture of mom on there, a picture of dad. I think of a little boy in Joplin. We heard the story. 4 years old, picked up out of his parents' arms in this tornado and deposited 5 miles away. The state trooper goes up to him. He's perfectly fine. And they said, what's your name? And he told them. what's your parents' name, mommy and daddy? That's what he said. And they're like, you know, it's like, well, there you go. And then he said, how did you get here? And he said, the angels brought me here. The angels
flew me
here. The angels flew me here.
Oh.
And so, so they did. But now we got to find out who you belong to. Not that he would have his backpack with him, you know, but being able to just, we have to think a little bit more. And I'm thinking about just another article that I read about the Japanese families. And of course, we know Japan, without question, was and still is the most prepared nation in the world for disaster. As a nation, they've done so much to prepare, and they've really concentrated on the children, because they realize, you know, how quickly, I mean, that kids could be at school and they could be somewhere, so that they found that if they just talk about it, you know, and just normal, it's just normal, and they're not afraid. They just know, because knowledge is power in that situation. When you know something and it's not unfamiliar to you, then you can say you have more information.